Exodus chapter 33, one of my favorite passages. You know, when you read through the Bible, you keep hitting the same passages over and over again. And there are some that just always bless your heart. And this is one of them in my life. So Exodus chapter 33, if you would please. You know, I was thinking about this, that besides the Lord Jesus, perhaps the greatest man that ever lived was Moses. God said about him something that he didn't say about any other human being. God said that Moses was the meekest man on the earth. He walked and he talked with God in intimate ways, and he knew God as a person would know their best friend. No other prophet in all of the Bible had the kind of relationship with God that Moses had with him. In fact, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10 that Moses knew God face to face. He had dealings with the Lord that no one else in Scripture really compares to. Throughout the Exodus and the wilderness wanderings, God spoke directly to Moses, and Moses spent time in the direct presence of God. And God revealed his special name to Moses and gave him the law. And through Moses, God instructed and God led the nation of Israel and provided for all of their necessities. When you come to chapter 33, of course, that horrible chapter 32, where the children of Israel so quickly fell into idolatry as they worshiped the golden calf that Aaron made for them while Moses was up on the mount getting the law from the Lord. That chapter 32 is significant. And in chapter 33, you see Moses seeking God's face. The relationship between Moses and God, as I said, is really one of intimacy, but also reciprocity. In Exodus 32, 33, 34, that sorrowful story of how Israel betrayed God with that golden calf worship, remember that God desired to destroy them over that, and actually said, "Moses, I'll start over with you." And Moses, of course, interceded graciously. I think as a meek man, he interceded for Israel, and God changed his mind about destroying the nation of Israel. And I think God wanted him to intercede. I think God wanted to change his mind about destroying the nation. But then God instructed Moses where to take the people next. Chapter 33, verse 2, actually verse 1, God tells him, "Depart and go up hence, thou and the people." Verse 2, "And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out basically all of the Canaanite inhabitants unto a land," verse 3, "flowing with milk and honey. I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." So Moses, what was his reaction to God saying that in verse 3, that "I will not go up in the midst of thee," when God had been in the midst of them, had been with them every step of the way up to this point, up to this year point? Well, look at Moses' reaction in verse 15. He said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Carry us not up hence. In other words, Moses was basically saying, "Lord, I'm unwilling to take a single step in this journey that you want us to take without the assurance of your presence with us, your direct presence. Now think about that for a moment, because Moses had experienced God's presence for a long time. Remember when God called him, God spoke directly to him out of the midst of that burning bush. Moses had seen God do some miraculous things. How that he caused that rod to become a snake and then back into a rod when he took it up in his hand. He saw God bring all of those plagues upon the nation of Egypt. He saw God deliver them out of Egyptian bondage by the death of the firstborn of the Egyptian household. And then he saw God deliver the people there at the Red Sea when he held that rod of God over the waters and they parted. And the people were able to pass over on dry ground, and then the waters coming upon the Egyptian army and drowning every single one of them, and they saw their bodies dead on the seashore. He saw water come out of a rock that God told him to strike with his rod. He saw the Lord rain food every morning, 6 days a week out of the heavens, for the people, millions of people to eat. And yet he is intent on what he says here. I will not carry us not up hence, except you go with us. So God agreed. Look at verse 14. God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Literally, and this is what I want you to see tonight, because this is the theme of what I'm thinking of. Literally, God is saying, my face will go with you. I want to talk about the face of God, God's face. God wants us to seek his face. When you seek God's face, you're seeking God's presence. It's the same word here. It's and to seek God's face is so vital, not only for a Moses, but for you and I. To seek God's face is to have a sense of the reality of his presence with you. I am sure that if you're a believer, you know that the Bible teaches that God is always with us. The Bible says he never leaves us. He'll never abandon us. He'll never forsake us. And we believe that theological truth of God also being omnipresent. But here, the face of God, the presence of God, is that God wants us to experience his manifest spiritual presence in our life. In fact, David commands Israel to seek God's face, and he says, and seek his face continually. You remember when Solomon was dedicating the temple, and he fell on his knees, and he lifted his hands toward heaven in front of the whole congregation, and he said, Lord, if my people, which are called by your name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, God says, and seek my face, then God promises, I will forgive their sin. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So you're to seek God's face. You're to seek the presence of God. David said in another place, he said, thou, let me read it so I actually get it accurately and not misstate what he said. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's Psalm 27. Thou saidst to me, seek ye my face. My heart responded and said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. This is what God wants from us. He wants us to seek his presence. He calls it seeking his face. God wants us to seek his face because God wants us to see his face. Let's talk about that for a moment. Jacob said that he saw God face to face in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 20. When he wrestled with the angel, he said, I've seen God face to face and I live. In that wrestling match, he was actually fighting God in a human who had come in a human form. Because no one can see God's face and live. That's what verse 20 says in Exodus 33. Because Moses says to God, after all that time with God, after all that he had seen God do, all the glory that God had already revealed to him, Moses says to God, after God promises to be with him, he says to him in verse 18, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God says to him, you can't see my face, for no man, verse 20, can see me and live. And so the Lord placed him in the crevice of a rock. And God said, my glory is going to pass by you. And I'll cover you with my hand as I pass by. And you'll see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Well, there is a sense in which God wants us to see his face in a spiritual way. You remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai after being there in God's presence for 40 days, his face had changed. Moses' face glowed with a reflection of the glory of God in it, of having been in God's presence. You remember that high priestly prayer of Aaron, the Aaronic benediction, it's called in Numbers chapter 6, where he prays for Israel and he said, God, make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The nation of Israel, in a sense, spoke to God face to face at Sinai. That's what the Bible says. That is, Israel had a visible manifestation of God's presence there. It says it in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 4 that God was in the midst of the fire and they saw him face to face. And during the entire 40 years of the wilderness wandering, that is called a face-to-face experience on the part of Israel in Numbers 14:14. Of course, they didn't see the face of God, but they saw a manifestation of God, his presence with them. I think that we can draw from this simply this, that God wants a spiritual face-to-face relationship with every single one of us. God wants a face-to-face relationship with you, with his people. Because if you can see his face, that is, if you can sense the reality of God's presence as you look into his word, you'll see what he wills for you. You'll see what pleases him. You'll understand what brings him sorrow. God wants to cause his face to shine upon us. Again, the psalmist says this three times in Psalm 80, cause thy face to shine, quicken us, literally revive us, and cause your face to shine upon us. The Bible says that in the Lord Jesus, we can see God's face revealed by the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking about 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where we read in the 6th verse, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. To understand what he's saying there, you drop back to verse 18 of chapter 3, where we read that we all, with an unveiled face, behold as in or through a window the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus, we get a glimpse of the face of God revealed by the Holy Spirit, these scriptures tell us. We are to seek the face of God. The sense of the reality of God's presence in our daily life. We are to see God's face in a spiritual sense. God wants a face-to-face personal relationship with us, ongoing. But my final thought is this. Sometimes God's face is hidden. God predicted that because of Israel's disobedience, they'd experience the hidden face of God. I'm thinking about Deuteronomy. This is chapter 31 and verse 17 and 18, where God says, then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day. They break my covenant. I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. Many evils and troubles shall befall them. Talking about, again, the nation of Israel. Verse 18, I will surely hide my face in that day. God sometimes says he will hide his face. Hear from the nation of Israel. And there came a point when God actually did hide his face from them. In the book of Isaiah and chapter 8, I think it is, and the 17th verse, here is where this threat that he gives to them in Deuteronomy actually begins to take place. Let me get that chapter for us. Chapter 8 and verse 10. Take counsel together, and it shall be, verse 17, I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. This is the prophet speaking. And in Isaiah chapter 54, and I think it's verse 8, here's what he says. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. We're familiar, perhaps, with chapter 59, where the Lord says, my hand is not shortened that it cannot deliver. My ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. He will not hear you. In chapter 64 of Isaiah and verse 7, we read, and there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. And of course, the hidden face of God regarding the nation of Israel is currently still going on. The Bible says back there again in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that whenever they read the Torah, whenever they read their own scriptures, like the veil that was over Moses' face to veil the glory of God that shone on his countenance, there is a veil, a covering over the heart of the nation of Israel that God put there by judgment because of their stubbornness and their disobedience. And it's only when that veil is removed that they can, that God's no longer hidden, that they can see. And that happens, of course, in individual lives currently of Jewish people, but one day it's going to happen to the nation, as the scripture says in Romans chapter 11 and other places. So God at times hides his face, not only from the nation of Israel, but I think he hides his face at times from individuals. How often the psalmist, as an individual, cried out to God, "Hide not thy face from me." You ever felt like God was hiding his face from you? Having begun our journey in this new year, I want to ask you, does the face of God go with you? Do you really sense his presence? I mean, are you traveling without the face of God? Are you going forward without that sense of his presence? God doesn't want to hide his face from Israel, from you, or from anyone. He wants all to seek him. He wants all to see him for who he is. And one day, literally, we will see him face to face. And we'll live in his presence. You know, a face is an incredible thing. A face can speak louder than words. A face can be more tender than a touch at times. And you and I are to live each day in such a way that you sense God's face and you know his presence. And I would just suggest that you and I don't take a single step in this new year alone, when you could, and really when we should, be face to face with God himself.